I understand that the windmill is part of my story. Windmill to windmill, windmill to windmill. It's so much more about just sex.
I'm a pilot.
I'm about to embark on the most amazing flight of my life.
Very high on life.
Definitely a lot of flying. That's my first love. This is the captain speaking. I'd like to welcome aboard Bachelaire. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. You know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's definitely going to be drama.
What drama?
But hopefully we'll end with a nice greaser of a touchdown. Welcome aboard.
Hola, Internet.
Stop it.
Did you see that? Did you see what I'm learning?
Stop it.
I'm learning so much.
This show might as well be on Telemundo with the amount of Spanish that everyone is speaking.
It's a lot. You know what? I'm actually pro that.
Oh, I'm definitely pro, like, let's get some intersectionality happening. But my issue is that they're forcing it down our throats with a man whose last name is Weber. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he really does speak Spanish, though. They're not faking it.
No, but also, at what cost?
So this week on the show...
Yeah.
It's... We're in a bit of a pickle.
What is it?
I'll explain this.
Is it a dill? Is it a...
To our listeners. No.
Is it a hot house?
No, it's a metaphorical.
Okay.
So, this season of the show, of The Bachelor, it was really bad for a long time because it was just woman drama, just dumb woman. And then, all of a sudden, in like 1 week, last week, the show was like, guess what? We're going to get serious again. We're going to cut everyone.
Everybody's cut.
I have cut a lot of you. Wendell is cut. Rudy is cut. Janie, you're gone. Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you.
And then it starts again this week and you're like, oh man, there's only six people. Except everyone who's been watching knows exactly the order these six girls are going to finish. And then it just happened that way.
So...
It's like not a mystery anymore.
Yeah. And the problem is...
I like mysteries. The thing is, I want this to be a mystery, and it's not.
Because we always say, isn't it awful when we watch the show and we know right off jump who the person is going to pick?
We didn't really this year, or this season. It was just... The show was just really bad. And then all of a sudden... It stopped being bad and started being obvious, which is also bad.
Well, it also stopped being bad and started being Espanol.
Yes. Muy mal.
Me gusta.
Right? No me gusta.
No me gusta. Gracias.
I'm not going to tell you what you gusta.
Gracias.
You don't know.
So we are in Lima. We are in Lima, Ohio. No, I'm kidding. We're in Lima, Peru. Spelled the same. So Peter kicks off the show.
Thank you for clarifying that.
We already spent one episode in one Ohio city. I might as well shout out another one. And a third. Congratulations to American Factory, the Academy Award winning documentary film set in Dayton, Ohio. Can you believe it?
Wow, it's a great time to be Ohio right
now. I know.
It's always a great time to be Ohio, and honestly.
And shout out to Bong Joon-ho and Parasite. I mean, you love to see it. Wow, what a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't say this very often, but... Our show would accept a guest director if Bong Joon-ho is listening.
I love
the
Bong.
Current direction. Honestly, like it gets kind of because the two directors we have are like objectively bad.
Well, but, and the interns aren't doing anything. I said what I said.
It's not their job to direct.
Shut up over there.
It's not their job.
I'd That's also like to shout
Bong
out
Bong Joon-ho's job.
That's right, and Sharon Choi as well, his wonderful and lovely interpreter.
She'd probably be better at directing than. You know, because she can speak directly to us.
And she's a filmmaker as well, so good for her. So Peter kicks off the
show. So we're in Ohio.
Well, we're in Lima, Ohio.
Oh, my bad. Well. Geographical mistake. Somebody should have checked that before I started talking.
Again, the interns are really slacking this episode. So Peter starts the episode talking to his mom, which is super weird.
Wait, is she crying?
Yes.
How is he talking to her?
Wait, no. She wasn't crying. He seemed kind of down, so he was pretty much explaining the point that he is in during the show. He's sort of struggling. He's kind of confused about his position and what's going on. Some of the things that I picked up on in his conversation was he's not that into it. He's talking about Hannah a lot, which I find to be weird at this juncture that he's still talking about Hannah, which I feel like is my bold prediction for the week, but we'll get to it. And he doesn't want to get his heart broken. He's really focused on, I don't want to like somebody more than they like me because this already happened to me, blah, blah, blah.
Has he ever dated anybody? First of all, don't Skype your mom and tell her that.
What a freak.
I mean, honestly.
Dude, marry your mom already and leave me out of it.
Listen, you're in Peru. It might be legal there. I just fly her there. I don't know what the laws are.
I don't know what the laws are.
I don't care how close you are to your parents. That's a weird conversation to have.
Honey, he lives with his parents as well. So,
so it is a conversation you'd have with your roommates.
So it's a conversation.
So now you're really running into an issue.
That's right. There's a lot of crossover. Like I said, intersectionality.
You know, we've heard this from quite a few bachelors and bachelorettes before where they're like, I'm really melting down because I don't want to love somebody who doesn't love me back. And you're like,
welcome to the club.
Do you know the whole thing about like being a human being?
Congratulations, you woke up this morning. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Everyone alive in the history of the world only has access to their own thoughts and feelings.
Ugh.
And it's like the number one problem of being a grown-up, of being a person, that you have to just realize you will never understand other people the same depth you get yourself.
And also part of being a relationship is trusting that someone likes you in the same way that you like them. So if you are so afraid that you're going to get your heart broken, maybe you don't trust any of these people. Is that a reasonable thing to say? I don't know. I would also like to mention that you don't know any of these girls very well to make a sound decision. And that's probably why you're second guessing yourself, because all the questions that you ask these girls are so benign and basic and stupid that they don't mean anything.
Yeah. Here's the part of the show where I get competitive about our relationship. And
ooh, me and you?
Point out to everybody that I'm better at it than you.
Oh, that's true.
The point of a relationship is not to trust that other people are into it as much as you. The point of a relationship is to not care what you get back from them.
And
to care that you're putting as much into it as you can, because that's all you can control, and that's your job.
And another thing, when you are in a relationship with somebody, sometimes you're giving more than the other person is, and vice versa. And that is part of it as well.
Yeah, sort of the concept of marriage and just a relationship in general is to find somebody where you don't care if you're putting in more than them.
That's literally it.
It's not to find the person where you're sure you're equal, because that you're never going to find.
You're never going to find that. You're not. 80-20. That's really it. If you find somebody at the most that has 80% of all the things that you want in a person, run. Marry them. Take them down immediately. Get pregnant. Raw dog. I don't care. Figure it out.
Right, but also I'm better than you at this.
Well,
I don't want to rub it in. I just want the listeners who don't really know the two of us as well as most people do. I just want them to know it's a competition.
I know
love is a competition.
Love is a competition. Listen, I know. Look,
that's
know.
The Bachelor's subtitle. The Bachelor. Love is a competition.
I know myself, and I know I've lost, so it's fine.
Great. So Peter has a little pre-cry with his mom. Nobody's really crying yet, but he's really getting warmed up to it. She's warming up to it. We're going to see that later in the season. She's going to be like atomic meltdown later.
Gross. This is foreplay for them.
Great. So we're there.
So Peter decides to have a chit-chat with some of the ladies. One of the things that I want to mention.
It's a surprise chit-chat.
It's a surprise chit-chat. Victoria's body language when he comes into the hotel room.
Her mouth language. Like, all of it is terrible.
Like, he comes into the hotel room and sits on the couch. I think it's in between Victoria and Kelly. Yes.
I don't know.
Victoria and Kelly. And her body is completely turned away from him. If there was any other instance for you to see that happen to you in real life and think to yourself, huh, I want to meet that girl's family, I would say that you're a dummy. Because if your body language is that, like, against another person, you don't like them. You don't want to have sex with them. You don't want to, none of it. None of it. And I don't know why he can't read the room.
I think he can.
Well, I do know why he can read the room. I do know that he...
Speaking of great directing.
Yeah.
So this episode.
Yes.
Maybe Bong Joon-ho is too busy directing this episode of The Bachelor to come. Because here's literally shot.
He'd probably be super into this.
Shot number one, Peter Weber sitting there. I just don't want to be in love with somebody who doesn't love me back. Shot number two, walks into this room. Victoria is wearing a shirt that says, I don't love Peter back.
I literally hate you.
And he goes, yeah, I'm into you.
I'm so into you.
I
bet Bong Joon-ho would really be able to direct a fantastic film based on a reality television show.
I would watch it.
He's a genius.
So, Peter's done. He sits down with the girls. He's like, hey, this needs to start getting serious right now. And surprisingly, nobody cries at the time, but I guess they were just saving it up for their one-on-one dates.
They were holding it.
So, speaking of that, the one-on-one dates start. Like I said earlier, where I was like, the show's basically over, he goes, guess what? Everyone acknowledges it's gotten really serious lately, so I'm just going to go ahead and go on a one-on-one date with Madison. I know Natasha hasn't had a date yet.
Ever.
But I'm going to go ahead and just pick Madison right now and just tell her that she won and that it's over. And so he does that. And
drama!
And so that's what happens.
So they go on a classic walk and talk date. There's a boat involved. Who cares? The morning part
They're fishing, or at least making out while some other guy fishes.
The beginning part of the date is not the important part. Here is the important part. So come to find out that Madison is very, very, very...
like, religious?
Into Jesus. And... the way that
And the word like. It has not been clear how much she likes the word like.
Because we haven't spoken to her in 7 weeks.
It's a guaranteed way to win this show. Never open your mouth and you'll finish in the top, I don't know what, 7 or 8 if you never talk. She's gonna win the whole thing never talking.
I would truly hate to play a drinking game with this show because I'd be dead. We'd have to call the police because I would have alcohol poisoning and I would be a dead person. So.
And then I would just do the show by myself.
Well.
And it wouldn't be any good.
Aw. See, this is that give and take thing. This is, you do it better than me. You do it better than me.
I do.
Thank you.
It's a compliment to you, but it's secretly just a compliment to me.
Said the psychologist.
Well, yeah, obviously. Minor in psychology.
Shut up! So, it comes to fruition that Madison is very into Jesus. So, we learn this through the other girls talking about it. So, Kelsey actually was the one that kind of brought it up, essentially saying that I don't know how much she has talked to Peter about her faith and how important it is to her and... and when people say that, like the other contestants say it, you go, okay, well, what does this really mean? And then when you hear Madison talk about it, I think she's, if we are going to give a gauge based on last season, she's Luke level into Jesus.
We found out at the very end of the episode, she is saving herself for Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we're only one date away from the fantasy suite, so he's gonna find that out real soon. He's
gonna find that out real quick. RQ.
He's gonna find that out. RQ. Do people say that?
They do now.
They definitely do. I was gonna say, I would like to jump in, but I don't know if this is a thing people would recognize.
You'll find it.
All right. So, they have this date. They're just kissing on a boat, whatever. Then they sit down for dinner, and she goes, hey, listen. Sorry. I'm gonna do this like she said it. Hey, like, just, you know, I just, like, you, like, I, like, listen, I, like, I love, like, religion. And, you know, it's not overbearing or anything, but it is kind of like, why are we just finding this out now?
Yeah, I think
it seems like a really big conversation to have, like, yes. Potentially 2 conversations before we have sex and 3 conversations before we get married.
Yes, there's, like, a degree of... how much she loves Jesus that we should have discussed strongly.
Yeah.
So when she tells Peter, he takes a long pause and he thinks about what his response is.
Well, she's not crying yet. So he's kind of unsure.
So like, he's trying to wait to see if the waterworks are going to start. So maybe he doesn't have to start talking.
She's still not crying. She hasn't even talked about her heart yet. Sure.
She did talk about it earlier though. You missed that.
He doesn't comprehend what's happening. If it's not like a heart-to-heart thing where somebody's crying, it doesn't filter in.
Doesn't compute. So he pauses for a long time, and you can tell he's kind of working the gears to try to figure out, okay, what can I say?
Yes.
So that I, one, won't scare her off because she's my favorite person. Two, I am freaked out by this because I maybe have had a conversation like this with somebody, probably with Hannah, but never in my past relationship, so I don't really know what to say. So how can I be in the middle of this, but what say something positive and leave the door open, but also not scare her off?
This is how you know Madison wins. Because if it were somebody, like, if it was somebody he was going to get rid of, if this happened one date later with Natasha,
yes,
he'd be like, hey, I really respect that, but I'm just not there yet, and mm-hmm. see you later.
Yeah.
But instead of that, he plays this game where he goes, what can I say that will bide the time for now?
Bingo.
So he says something like,
I respect you.
I respect that. And also, I used to be religious and I've not been as good as I should be, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then...
something like, I grew up in a Christian household.
Good news, though, because halfway through his answer, she just starts crying, and then we know that it's all okay.
It's fine. And I find it to be very wild, as someone from Dayton, Ohio, very large and strong German Catholic community, that with his father being German and his mother being Cuban, that nobody is Catholic?
I think he should be very Catholic,
Soup's
right?
Catholic. I mean, Adam, I'm surprised with as much as you tout this Italian thing that you're not, but it's fine.
There are Italian Protestants.
Name three. That aren't you and in my family. Brother, that aren't you and your brother.
I'll get back to you. I'll have the interns look that up.
Get the kids on.
So, I mean, anyway... This is
right.
This is
how, he should be super Catholic.
This is how you know that it's over and Madison wins.
Yeah, honestly, or she gets to the tail end until whatever this stuff happens.
And then he just spills the beans. He goes, "I'm falling in love with you." First time it's happened.
And he has not said this to anybody else, by the way.
No, not. I mean, barely. It gets brought up again on the next date. Mm. But anyway. I don't feel like there's a lot of substance in Madison's date. There is the big religious surprise.
Yes.
You know, which is something.
As I said in my notes, Peter likes Jesus, but he doesn't love Jesus. Madison loves
Jesus. He is Jesus adjacent.
He is like, oh, I met him once. He seemed like he was cool. Madison's like, I hang out with Jesus every day. Jesus is my best
friend.
He's here right now.
He's in the room with us.
He's in the room. I'm supposed to be leaving room for the Holy Spirit, and that's Jesus.
I don't know. I think that the producers always love having one a year. They really encourage somebody to play it up because they like to do that.
Well, I think it's the kind of thing...
They just, like, they're trying to separate these women as much as they possibly can. And there's really not a lot of room to do that because they're all 23-year-old nothings.
Well, I'm sure it's very hard to cast for the show for women who are between the ages of 22 and 24 who want to be married this young, who aren't, like, super religious. I mean, period. Like, last season, Cassie, perfect example. Like, Cassie was on the show. She, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, she did not need to be getting married this young and was very clear about that. But because of her religious upbringing and background, this was something that was kind of pushed on to her. I mean, like, Luke, perfect example. He was 12 years old. So, you know, it's either the show is casting kids that, you know, went to Bible study or, you know, people that were in pageants. It's one or the other.
And there's a higher percentage chance of a religious person being willing to get married young.
100%.
Because they're saving themselves.
Because they're saving themselves.
And they're tired of waiting.
And they're tired of waiting because it's this or, you know.
And Madison
flinging the bean.
Madison is hot.
Madison is real cute.
She has had opportunities.
Yeah.
She could have an opportunity now.
Are you talking about yourself?
Well, no. So, like, I mean, this is no surprise.
And am I going to be honest with you? She's too tall for you.
Madison has been at the top of my power rankings for quite a while, but I also find myself very unattracted to anybody this season. It's been a while since I've even considered anyone this season an option for me, and I, you know, Madison is my number one, but here's what I'll say about her. She has too much bottom of the face.
Ooh.
The space between, like, her bottom lip and her chin Ooh. It's like 70% of her face.
Ooh.
It's hard not to notice. It's not ugly. It's just weird. You got too much bottom half.
It's like she has a forehead, like a five head, but on her chin.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So she gets a rose. She's going to win. She's still in. This is Madison's date.
Cool. Next up is the one-on-one with Natasha. Now, we always liked Natasha. We appreciated her being around. We enjoyed her. She was always the truth teller. She gave us cats and rats, which we love to see. You know, this was dead before it started.
Are you presenting this from the POV of Pedro over here? Because he feels exactly the same way. Like, hey, super glad you're here, but like, also maybe just now you leave now, though?
I literally hate it when you call him Pedro. You know why?
That's his name.
That's not his name. That, you know what? That's what his mother called him. His wife.
I'm going to keep the Pedro thing up for a while. You know,
so Peter starts this one-on-one date and says, you know, it's never a dull moment with Natasha. Like, you know, she's so vibrant and exciting and bold. And so she says whatever, you know, is on her mind. I love that about her. You know, they do have really great chemistry. They are, you know, sort of, they have a nice banter with each other.
You know, like friends do.
Like friends. They have a nice banter with one another.
Or just like mature adults. Like, yeah. Two grown-ups can talk to each other about stuff because they have experience and they have perspective. Like, grown-ups can do that.
I think given the chance, there's a very clear delineation between how Peter talks to the women that are older versus how Peter talks to the women that are younger. And when he gets around some of the older, more mature women.
Where do you count Kelsey in there?
Because
she is technically the second oldest person on the show.
I agree.
But
I struggle.
Obviously, she's not. She mentality-wise, she is as 22 as anybody.
I struggle with Kelsey. And, you know, when he talks to some of the older women, like when he's talking to Kelly, when he's talking to Natasha, he just
That's
has
the dividing line. Those two are in their own class.
He has a different, just like, language. And there's a challenge that they present to him that I think he wants it. And he sees it and he can recognize it and he can get there. But I think somehow he's been poisoned to think that, okay, and we'll get to this later, that the relationships need to be hard for the sake of them being hard. And, you know, we need to work through stuff. We need to cry and we need to, you know, I need to take
we
care
gotta
of you.
We got to have drama.
We got to have drama.
What drama?
I need to be the one
His
to take
mother
care of
has
you.
Ruined him.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, it's weird because the young women he's attracted to.
Yeah.
And then they get a little bit older and he's like, ooh, gross. But then they get old enough to be his mom and he's like, okay, I'm back in.
Back in. She's hormonal and menopausal. We love to see it.
This is like, you know, this is no like Freud or anything.
Mm-mm.
or any kind of psychology. He just, maybe it's because of his mom, but he just only loves people who are psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
He loves people who are inexplicable and who are unmanageable and who are just difficult to be with.
Roller coaster of emotions.
So he sits down. He's like, hey, listen, you're really good friends with me. Which is actually the same thing, the same way he started with Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, you know, you're complex and you have all these sides and I love that. And for a split second, you're like, wait a second. Is he going to do this?
Yeah.
Because the whole time you're kind of putting it together and you're like, where is it going to go? Like, mm-hmm. You know, is Kelsey really going to get a rose? Like,
right.
Do I really think that's going to happen?
Right.
You know, for a little bit, you convince yourself Natasha has a shot.
Well, because you were pretty hot on Natasha more recently.
Yeah. The stock on Natasha is way up.
Oh, for sure.
Hopefully you sold it before this week.
Uh-oh.
So they're going into the dinner date, and here's Pedro on the VO, and he goes, we had a really great first date. I need to, like, have this dinner, and, like, we should have a really good conversation where I tell her how much I love Madison.
Exactly.
He literally said in the VO, like, I need to tell her how much I love Madison. And I'm like, wait a second.
What?
This is not a natural evolution. The love story goes, starting to fall in love with you, falling in love with you, have fallen in love with you, I love you, not I love Madison.
Right.
That is not a stage.
That's different. That's totally different. I would also like to say that during their conversation, she was trying to say, okay, so what does this whole thing look like after this? Like, what? How do I fit into your life? How can we work together? You're a pilot. I am a TV producer. How does all of this happen? And he, instead of even entertaining her, and this was the moment that I knew it ain't happening, instead of even entertaining her by saying, well, you know, this is the schedule that I'm thinking and this is how what I want to do kind of after this, he instantly said, I'm just really focused on finding my wife right now. Like, dismissed her question entirely and didn't even answer it.
See, this is another big difference between Madison and Natasha. Mm-hmm. Because Peter hates specifics.
Yeah.
He only speaks in vague, mystic generalities.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm really worried that I'm going to fall in love with somebody who's not in love with me. And Madison's response to this was to out-loco him. They sit down and he's like, it's getting pretty serious. I'm kind of worried. And she goes, no, wait, I'm worried. I'm so much more worried than you
because I'm
worried that I'm going to fall in love with somebody who's not like with you. And then at the end, I'm not going to be with you. And then she's crying a little bit and this trick works for him. And he sits down and says this to Natasha, and Natasha's like, okay, well then to ease your worry, let's plan it out right now. Like, here's what I want to do. You tell me what you want to do, and then we'll mash them together and we'll line them up.
Let's see if they mash up, and, you know, let's have a conversation about what it's like to really be in a relationship. And Peter was like, wait, what?
He goes, wait, this is not my game.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
My game is the great unknown.
No, your game needs to be, how do you fit into my life and is this going to work for me or not? So it was at that moment she knew, and he was really nice about it. And he said, Natasha, you've been great. I love you. This is...
I love Madison. Sorry.
Love Madison. But I'll see you at the Women Tell All. And he sent her home.
Do you really feel like she wanted this? Like she...
I think she probably... She had to know, even probably going into the one-on-one date, that it wasn't going to happen. It was this moment or... Yeah, she had to have known.
So, yeah, I mean, we might as well do a little end-of-the-road send-off for her now.
Then let's do it.
She... Natasha had a good season.
She did. She really did. I was she really
lasted,
surprised.
She lasted a lot longer than I think most people thought.
She was the last black girl on the show. She lasted longer than Sydney. Yeah.
And she came off... Like, she literally never had a bad moment the whole season. She only had good moments. She is a lock if she wants to be on BIP.
But, hands down.
But does she want it?
You know, I think that she could be an excellent contestant on BIP. I would personally love to see her in braids in Tulum. And I think she would be an excellent contestant on the show.
Who would she get with, though? What guy is grown up? Because she's a serious grown up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I will say that,
but serious grown-ups actually have worked out decently well on Bachelor in Paradise.
A lot of them, lot of people have worked out being on Bachelor in Paradise. I think I would like to see her with, I'm not going to say Mike because Mike was probably burned by the whole process. I don't think he would come back. I don't know. I think maybe I would entertain a Diggy. I would entertain a Dustin, you know, with the nose ring.
Oh, get that guy out of here.
I know, but I like him. I think he's kind of cool. I don't know. I would be curious to see who's on the Bachelorette season to see who she would be matched up with.
I think it'll be interesting if she and Kelly end up at the same place because,
two cool girls hanging out and being cool.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, two could be a buddy cop, like, tandem.
I would watch that show.
Let's go to the next 101 date.
Okay.
Like, back at the house. All the girls are sitting around crunching numbers. Like, oh, my God, how many people are left? How many roses are left? What's going to happen? And, you know, it's a terrible indictment of just the education system because people don't really understand the math of how this is all working
out. Well, except Kelly.
Obviously, Kelly does.
Obviously, Kelly knows what's going
on. Also, Kelly does not care.
Oh, my God. Kelly is sitting around with her feet up. You know, again, I know I bring this up all the time. But Kelly is the physical manifestation of Peter Krause laying across that couch in that gray sweatsuit going, I mean, try it, y'all. I'm winning, and I don't care.
She doesn't care.
Kelly doesn't care.
So we go back. Kelsey, however, is having a little bit of a freak out. She's not sure how this is going to work. She gets the one-on-one date, though, which makes her cry with joy.
Because I was surprised by this. I was surprised that she got a one-on-one date. And usually
he loves her drama.
That is true. Usually at this point of the season, get a one-on-one date for two reasons. One, it's either a guaranteed, you're a guaranteed lock for hometowns.
The Madison date.
The Madison date. Like, you didn't want to leave her waiting. There's no question, all of that. The second one-on-one option is usually the girls that, you know, we haven't had a one-on-one yet. So it's yes or no. This is the
I don't want to send you home without giving you a one-on-one.
I don't want to send you home without giving you a one-on-one date. So I thought it was really weird that Kelsey would get a one-on-one date at this stage.
Kelsey is nuts.
She's
this girl is bananas.
Cuckoo.
So for the first part, they I guess take a boat ride or something somewhere. They end up on the coast and they're gonna ride ATVs around.
That was cool.
She's never done it before. She's a little bit worried about it.
She lives in Iowa. How has she never ridden an ATV before?
It's a lawnmower with bigger wheels. That's all it is.
Hello.
She goes, "How do you make it go,
girl?
Are you serious?
Are you serious? Have you been outside ever?
Have you ridden anything?
A bike?"
She's wonderful.
I just
and at the time you're thinking, you know, this is the kind of date, like, it's too noisy, you're moving too fast, you're not actually going to talk to each other.
Yeah,
this is the kind of date that she deserves because she cannot talk to people without crying. So they do that. They cuddle up on like the side of the beach or like it's a hill.
They ran up the hill, blah, blah, blah. And he was talking about like, these are the kind of things I want to do with my family.
Yeah.
And you know, he was asking her specific questions about, you know, what do you see your life being like? Things that he wasn't talking to Natasha about. And so she was saying, oh, I still want to work a little bit, but then also take a couple days off during the week to be
with
my
kids. What a brave
answer.
She goes, I want to work like 2 days a week and then just stay at home.
Doing what? Working retail?
Wait. Everybody wants to work fewer days. Do you think you're special?
Like, do you want
to
make money?
Nobody wants to go to work ever.
No. Nobody wants to do that. And so the one thing that I thought was super weird about this date is, where did all of these questions come from? Peter was asking her really specific questions that, like, he had remembered that she never answered a question from a previous conversation they had. And so he brought it back up, where I felt like he wasn't doing that with some of the other girls. So I thought that was very interesting. And maybe that means he likes Kelsey more than I thought.
I mean, he clearly does, because we're in episode 7 of this now. Every time the two of them have an interaction, she breaks down.
I'm so confused.
Every time.
So I want to get
She's not even hot.
I want to get to the evening date because I really want to talk about this.
Let's go.
So Kelsey talks a little bit about, you know, the big question in the evening dates is always, so if I go to your hometown, who am I going to meet? So Kelsey, as we know, she has a tumultuous backstory with her parents. Her parents got divorced when she was 7.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, her parents got divorced when she was 7.
For good reason.
Right. Her dad was cheating on her mom, I believe, and then he had a second family or something like that, a secret second family.
I think that's right.
So she then hadn't spoken to her dad for about 10 years. And so they more recently got into contact, and her mother doesn't know that she's been talking to her dad. So she says the reason for this, and I thought this was kind of complicated and convoluted, but, you know, if you're a child of divorce and have trauma related to it and trust issues, like, she has a reason to have drama about people getting divorced.
Yeah, like, that's a pretty legit thing.
That's
that
a loaded
mess you up.
Thing. That's a loaded thing.
A whole second family?
A second, oof.
That is a lot.
Oh, boy. So she said that the reason that she wants to have a relationship with her father is because, she doesn't want the opinions of anybody else to color how she feels about him, which is legitimate. However, this is the thing that really bothered me. When she told Peter all of this, she said, my mom doesn't know. So when you go home, and if you want to go home and visit my family, you have to keep my secret. I didn't appreciate that.
I mean, here's what I am going to say about Kelsey. First of all, she's a mess.
Sure.
You know, I've been saying this all year, I think, about her. If someone sees you crying every time they see you, like, that's who you are.
And then, speaking of that, these are not
a series of one-offs. This is who you are.
Speaking of that, Peter made a joke about it And he was like, oh, I guess you're going to start crying again or something like that. And she said, I told you I'm not emotional all the time. That is going to be your entire relationship. If those are the things that you're picking up on and those are the red flags where you're like, oh my gosh, this is funny now. It's not going to be funny 6 months from now where she cries and when you brought home the wrong avocados.
Yeah. Speaking of that. So I have 2 points to make.
I saw a white lady standing on the street just sobbing.
And it was Kelsey.
And I think about it once a week.
I have 2 points here. Mm-hmm. The first one is that Pedro gives her the rose halfway through the date as a way to make her feel better because she's obviously crying about the story. And he gives her the rose halfway through and like, he was going to do it the whole time.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He and she both, and just people in general on the show,
okay,
they make up their minds far before any facts are ever introduced.
No.
You know, he knew going in he was going to give her this rose. It didn't matter what she cried about. It didn't matter what the thing was. Now, he was like, hey, listen, you know what? I hope you feel better. Here's a rose. Tell me your story.
It's amazing the kind of decisions you make when you have the prospect of seeing breasts.
But like, what? Kelsey is ugly. Anyway, you're supposed to listen to the facts first, and then make a decision.
Yeah. That's really
first one.
How everything works.
Second of all, mid crying, Kelsey says something almost exactly like, "Thank you for not running for the hills when you heard about my family drama." To which I would say, who does that? And when you're into somebody and you're like, tell me about your family, almost always somebody goes, well, there's a little bit of drama because every family has their own
stuff. Yeah, nobody's going to do that. People will run for the hills when they meet your family after your family acts insane.
Everyone always is going to give you the benefit of the doubt here. You have to be expecting that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I have to say. She has no chance of winning. But he seems very content to probably go home, meet her family, and I don't know. I thought she was going to get fourth, but now I would say she's probably going to get third.
No.
She's not a real threat.
She's not a threat at all.
Well, she is a threat, just to cry, not to win the show.
Jesus.
So, that happens.
Yeah.
And then we have what the women describe as a 3-on-1 date.
Drama.
Which is not actually accurate. It's really dramatic. They're all like, oh my God, there's 3 of us and only 2 roses. This is so intense.
You know, it's different when you have a 3-on-1 date when there is no conflict between the girls and they're trying to make conflict. And so what the show tried to do during the segment was to make Kelly the mean girl, when in reality, Kelly was truly just saying facts about what was going on around her.
Again, I think anybody who knows Peter knows that he's already made up his mind. But what I'm more concerned about is just the math aspect.
Yeah.
These women have been sitting around crunching numbers the whole time. At the very beginning of this episode, 6 women, 4 roses. That is reducible.
Yeah.
There's going to be 2 roses for every 3 women. They end up on a date where there are 2 roses for 3 women, and they're like, it got so much harder now. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
It's exactly the same.
He knows what he wants to do.
It's exactly the same now.
This is the same reason that Peter doesn't have cocktail parties, because he knows what he wants to do.
Yeah, and then he has to talk way more.
Ugh.
So, your odds haven't changed.
Right.
So this is Kelly, Hannah Ann, and Victoria.
Correct.
The 3 of them go on this date. They don't actually do anything. They just ride in the car to this like vineyard or farm or something.
Yeah, it's a traditional 3-on-1 date at the tail end where he gets up and walks away with somebody and they kind of sit around.
Yeah, so that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Each of the 3 of them sort of get one-on-one time with Peter and also with the camera. And there are 3 very separate stories.
Correct. So the first story was Hannah Ann. So she
Instantly crying before even a word comes out of her mouth.
As a 22-year-old person decides to start crying, she talks about this letter that she wrote Peter that basically has all the hallmarks of a letter that you would find in a high school locker. It has the eyes dotted with hearts.
It's a classic, my first ever Valentine's Day type thing. It's not even a letter. It's just a list. It doesn't even have, like, the structure, you know, of a letter. It's literally just a bulleted list on lined paper.
Yeah. Julia Stiles' poem from 10 Things I Hate About You has more sophisticated thought process going into it than this letter that Hannah Ann wrote.
Yes. She also, direct quote from Hannah Ann, "This is really hard for me. It's heavy." She cries. Sorry, she cries.
Okay.
Stage directions. Crying.
Crying. Closed captioning. She, crying. Sobbing.
You know, tell me something new. Tell me something about yourself. Don't just tell me what is happening. I'll figure that out on my own.
Tell me what you want to be when you grow up. A ballerina?
Ooh.
A firefighter?
Oh, an astronaut?
An astronaut?
The Hannah Ann thing, it's difficult for me to understand. I think she's going to get second overall.
Is it difficult for you to understand, or are you understanding what the baseline of people who are on this show really are looking for?
I think it's just Peter. He really loves a crying, confused mess. It's awful.
So the second 101 time he gets is with Kelly, and Kelly has been pretty vocal this
She's
episode.
She's so confident.
She's the best. She's like, "I'm a lawyer. These other two girls do what?
They're babies.
Know. They're babies.
I'm successful.
I'm successful. I'm sophisticated.
We've already had sex.
And we've already had sex, so it doesn't even matter."
She goes, "The weak get cut." That's what I love. She goes, "The weak get cut."
I love Kelly. So Peter talks to Kelly and he says, "So how do you feel about our relationship?" And she says the words that seal her coffin. "I think
you're fun.
I have a lot of fun with you." And you can tell Peter hates that word. He hates it. How she uses the word fun.
He just hates. He hates the confidence. He hates the clarity.
Yes.
He hates the idea that she already knows what she thinks is so foreign to him.
Yes.
He needs someone who has no idea how they think.
Yes.
Who is currently juggling 100 different emotions.
Yes.
And can't even express it in words.
And he was so frustrated. He was like, "Well, what do you mean? Like, it has to be more than fun for you." And she's like, "Well, it is.
Like,
and I've been super articulate about what this is for me. Do I see a long relationship with you? I don't feel like I'm falling in love with you yet, but I really enjoy your company and I love where this is going and I can't wait for you to meet my family and I want to be married. I want to be in a serious relationship." I mean, it all sounds pretty reasonable to me.
It's a legit thing to do, you know, to like have fun with the person that you're into.
Yes.
You know, you're not just romantic like bows forever.
No.
You're, you know, the open secret of every relationship ever is that you spend so much time together. You know.
Sorry.
You end up finishing each other's sandwiches.
Sandwiches, yeah.
But you do. You spend all your time together. And, like, if you don't just enjoy your default time, you're...
And this was the best thing. Because I don't know if in the history of us watching this show, if anybody has ever said this as articulately as she has said it, because we've talked about it a ton on this show. She said, "Every relationship doesn't have to be tumultuous and hard."
She tells it to him.
I was like, "Ah, Kelly, do you listen to 25 to Life?" Because we have been talking about this for years.
I hope she does listen to us.
Wouldn't that be cool?
But
ugh, an icon.
Do you have anything else to say about
it? No, because Kelly is a genius. What?
I do.
What?
She's throwing it. She knows what effect this is going to have on him,
mm-hmm.
and she is throwing it. She has got to the point where she's like, "Am I really going to embarrass my family and friends by, like, embarrass herself to those people by bringing this guy home and being like, this is what I went on the show for?
Because remember,
this idiot,
her whole family, they're all lawyers. So they all..."
I bet you her friends are too.
All her friends. Because
successful people are friends with other successful people.
And all of her friends and family are probably super successful, like, you know, so sophisticated and cool people and easy. They probably all act like Kelly. So he's going to walk in and be like, "Yeah, you know, this is just so serious for me." And they're going to be like, "You hear this guy?
Wait, this guy? She knows this is going to air on TV. Mm-hmm. She's throwing it. She knows exactly the F word to put out there to like that he is going to overreact to. She knows the buttons to push that are going to turn him off, and she pushes all of them. She is so afraid this is actually going to keep going further. And
I would not put it past her.
She stops it.
I would not put it past her.
I this is what she did on purpose.
Mm-hmm. God, I love Kelly.
Peter Weber, the kind of guy that you throw the date for, the kind of guy that you like psychoanalyze and manipulate to not pick you.
And she's probably going to be like, man, I just want to go back to work.
I hope she does.
She probably will.
So the final woman is Victoria, who runs her game.
Yo. She also tried to throw it.
But she's not good enough.
She's not as good.
She runs the usual game that we've been seeing lately. She doesn't look at him. She like pets her hair and like looks down and just goes, I don't know. I just don't know.
But you gotta do it the way she does it. I don't know. Like Peter, like I just don't know. Like, you know, every time I like talk to you, like you don't even like you're not like she's not saying anything.
She started accusing him. She goes, every time I talk to you, you're in some mood. Like, let's have a serious conversation.
It's like, girl, this is the only time I have to talk to you.
What? See, this is her problem.
I just can't.
She thinks this is going to work, but this is playing into what he wants.
He loves this.
He wants somebody who might love him when he's not around.
And then at the same time, he fixes his mouth to say, I just don't want to be heartbroken and I don't want to be with somebody who I love more than them. You're staring her right in the face. You're staring
You're staring at the side of her head while she looks away.
Sorry. So sorry. You're staring at her hairline. Thank you very much.
It is amazing that he should have cut both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
They're both trying to lose the game. There's no other explanation for the way Victoria acts. Right?
Yeah, there really
isn't. No human person who is an adult can be that bad.
Well, but the problem is that she acts so starkly different when she's not around him. It would be different if she was kind of doing that with the other girls, but it is so clear that she is a completely different person around the girls than she is with him. So there has to be something up.
I mean,
even when she was with Chase, she was totally different with him. And she f***ed him allegedly one time. And he's actually famous.
She doesn't like him. She kind of hates him.
She doesn't like him. She got bored. I think she liked the idea of being on The Bachelor. And then she got there and she was like, oh, this is what this is? No.
I mean, she came for the Instagram fame and now has run into the wall of maybe needing to get engaged at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And she thinks she's going to put an end to it this way. But she doesn't realize that this is actually what he's into. And it's weird because like the way that she treats him, like, you should not hate somebody this much until you've already dated them for a year
Exactly correct.
You shouldn't have this much ammunition against somebody.
Exactly correct.
Yeah, until you're at the point where you're calling them by a number instead of a name.
That's right.
And, like, you shouldn't hate somebody this bad until things have already, like, you've already been exclusively dating for at least a year.
Adam has some personal feelings about that, clearly. I mean, Peter is clearly a messy and he lives for drama, and that's why he continues to entertain Victoria.
So he gives Victoria the rose, and it is the end of the road for Kelly, obviously the fan favorite of the season.
Kelly, if you were ever in San Francisco, we would love to have you.
Oh
my God.
If you're listening to the show, please, and you know how to get in touch with Kelly.
We stan. And Natasha as well.
Yeah, I mean, anybody.
I mean, happy Black History Month to Natasha, truly.
Is Kelly done with the franchise at this point?
You know,
except for Women Tell All.
She's going to really play well on Women Tell All. They're going to let Kelly talk.
They'll give her the couch and after the
final
rose.
I don't know if they'll give her the couch.
They have to. She's the only one who can talk that much.
I don't know, but she's going to be one of the girls that, you know, when they have the Women Tell All, there are a couple people who are able to monologue longer than other people, and she's going to be one, and Lexi is going to be one.
I want to see photograph Lexi and not on camera video Lexi, because kind of a two phase.
Yeah, it's not going to happen for you.
Let's go to the power rankings.
Okay. So now that we are down to four, we power rank everybody that is left. So, Adam, who is your number four?
Kelsey is number four. I hate her.
Kelsey is also my number four. I hate her as well.
Victoria is my number three. I can't stand her.
Victoria F is also my number three. I can't stand her as well.
Hannah Ann is my number two. She is hot, but terrible.
Correct. That is my number two.
And then Madison is my number one because... she's hot, but doesn't seem as actively bad, and we're out of candidates. We're out of people.
You are four for four, friend.
So.
Bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
So, bold predictions, I think, for next week for the hometowns, and then I would suggest for the rest of the show.
So, next week, Victoria loses.
So, next week, it seems like somebody from somebody's past. I'm going to say somebody again.
Somebody
from somebody's past comes and let's use the word spoils Victoria's one-on-one date with Peter before he meets her family.
Seems like she has a whole stable of gentlemen she has done wrong before, so that would not be surprising.
Well, frankly, she probably has a stable full of women she's done wrong because she slept with their husbands.
She's messed up a lot of things.
A lot of families.
She's real hot, but also just a monster. I can't believe this is a real person.
Oh, boy. So I think something is going to happen there. I think Peter is probably going to leave her before he gets to meet her family, because there's no way, based on the way that she talks to him and what might happen in Virginia Beach, that this would now be the second time where he has been bamboozled or hoodwinked when it comes to his relationship.
He's been trying to keep her alive long enough to have sex with her, and it's gonna just be too hard to do that.
Yeah.
She's gonna be such a mess. Also, the concept of having sex with her isn't even that attractive anymore.
No!
Because you know she's gonna be a mess.
She's gonna be a mess.
So,
and you know what? Honestly, what probably happens is she gets like this with guys, and then because she can't have sex with them in this situation, usually she's able to have sex with them and leave at an earlier stage.
Yeah, she's already checked out. So.
Yeah.
I think she leaves. We saw photos of like all the other women dressed up in fancy gowns and stuff, so they're probably all going to make it after this except for her.
So, what do you think about Kelsey's hometown date? It seems pretty inconsequential. Like,
Kelsey's mom seems like she's a crying, ugly mess of a wreck too, just like her.
So big deal. I mean, I think the big one here to address is Madison's date. Because
it's going to go perfectly.
Well, I don't know. Because of the revelation about Madison and her faith, I think that is going to be a bone of contention for her family.
Right, listen. He doesn't collect facts first and then make a decision.
You're right.
The decision has already been made.
You're right.
And now he's going to collect a bunch of facts that he's going to throw away, including
right.
the thing about her religion. He's already made up his mind.
Yeah, it's over for him. But I think her family is going to be a tough nut to crack. And then it seems like Hannah Ann's family, at least, is going to be like, girl, I gave you a curfew and you were supposed to be home. So I think there is a piece of that that's still there.
You have driver's ed tomorrow.
You have driver's ed tomorrow.
You need to be home.
We have an AP course that you need to take this weekend.
She's not AP anything.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even said that.
So I think for the entire season,
what are your thoughts? Because we are getting closer and closer to the moment.
A bunch of the preseason interviews with Peter, he kept saying things like, there's no way anybody could possibly spoil the season. No one's going to see what's coming. I think that's because the actual finale is going to be live. They haven't filmed it yet. They're going to do it live. He's going to get it down to two. Hannah Ann and Madison, who are both totally fine putting their life on hold for 3 months and waiting for this thing.
Because they're 12.
Because they had nothing going on.
Well, this would traditionally be the transitional job that you would have between college and real life.
So they're going to just sit in a pen for 3 months.
Yep.
And then get taken to a soundstage in L.A. They're going to film the finale, and mm-hmm. he's going to pick Madison. Hannah Ann's going to cry.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Well, I still think there is a Hannah Brown component of this, but here's my theory. We're going to get to the fantasy suite, and that is going to be a big deal because Come to find out, Madison is also saving herself for marriage. She has not had this conversation with Peter. Peter is gonna fuck somebody, because yikes.
Yeah.
Because
the other two.
He is himself. Peter is going to have sex with somebody, but based on the order of operations, he will. Thank you. He is going to have his one-on-one date with Madison late. So he will have already had sex with somebody. And so she's going to say, okay, you somebody and I never was able to have this conversation with you. And so now we are at an impasse because you had sex with somebody and I didn't want you to, whatever. And that's going to be a narrative. So I think what's going to happen, Madison's going to get upset about it and somehow is going to leave, something like that. And then that's where mom gets the, no, let him go.
Oh, and then he goes back to get Madison.
And then he goes back to get Madison. Or he's going to get to the final two. Hannah Brown's going to come and be like, I just want to let you know that I just really care about you. And I want to make sure that you make the right choice for you.
For your heart.
For your heart. And make sure that this journey is about you finding love. Does that sound right? Sound like a good Hannah B?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. None of these women are any, they're all terrible.
You know, let's just, I mean, here's the other bold prediction or question that I have for you. Who's the bachelorette? It can't be Leslie Murphy. Sorry for your loss.
No, I mean, your first shot is Kelly, I think. Mm-hmm. The fans only love Kelly. Mm-hmm. It's not just us. I mean, I would imagine.
Yeah.
First shot is Kelly. If it's not her, I don't know.
It's got to be somebody from a previous season because there's nobody from this class at all.
Maybe Hannah Ann because she's just hot.
Are you joking?
What? She's exactly the same thing that Hannah Brown was.
If Hannah Ann is the
Bachelorette. How is she different from Hannah Brown? They're just hot little things.
If Hannah Ann is the Bachelorette, we are not doing her season, period.
We probably are.
I'm going to say it right now. I'm not going to show up. I'm going to sit right here and watch you podcast the show.
I'll just bring a guest host every time.
Fine. Fine.
How is she different from Hannah Brown? They're the same thing. They're like identical things. They're just hot, dumb pieces of people. And that's it.
I can't.
Great. So next week is Hometowns.
Hometowns.
And we will broadcast in spirit from our home.
To your town.
To your town. That's it. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe.
I am a very safe guy. Safety in everything I do. And
in everything.
I'm not going to stop now.
This is not normal, dating 30 women.
You're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Live vicariously through my love story.
Everyone thinks I fell in love with everyone.
I am in touch with my emotions. It's like the number one thing for me.
I think it comes from my Cuban roots.
I mean, it was uncomfortable. It was awkward.
You date that many women, there's going to be drama.